Welcome to Dad Life with Foz. My name's Luke Forrest, aka Foz. Alongside my beautiful partner Emily, I'm about to become a new dad, and I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. So instead of doing the research privately, I thought I'd invite some of my mates along who've done this all before. And hopefully, along the way, I'm going to work out what the hell I'm doing when this baby is born. Here we are at episode 5 of the Dad Life podcast. I'm Luke Forrest, and we're just happy to make it to episode 5, to be blatantly honest. We're at Royal Stacks in Moorabbin here, across the road, stomping ground as well. Amazing little complex. Come down and support the boys down here. So our guest for this week's episode is, I suppose, you were portrayed as a villain. I think I don't watch the show, but I, from what I can see in the outside world, you were portrayed as a villain in the 2021 episode, season of Maths. It's Bryce. How are you?
I just said some dumb shit in the beginning, I'm not going to lie. But look, it was end of the day, you being honest and whatnot. Yeah, slightly dumb, but I was myself, and yeah, look, people like it, people didn't like it, and yeah. It was mostly a select few women that didn't like it.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys like, mate, we were sure on again this year, but obviously I've worked out with my partner Liz from the show, and we've got two little twin boys, and that's why I'm in here today with you.
That's it. That's it. And I know you personally, and I know you are actually a fairly decent guy.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. Most of the time, about 85% of the time.
Yeah.
There's always that slight little hiccup I have, but, you know, it's entertaining at the end of the day.
I don't normally go into people's past, but how was your maths journey?
Shit.
Really?
That shit house. I would never do it again.
Yeah,
look, I guess the happiest day of my life has been the day we finished filming the show.
Yeah.
It was then taken over by the date of the boys being born, obviously. But, it wasn't great. It was just sort of, I guess in the beginning, so naive to the process. Being a fan of the show, having watched it and getting hit up, I was like, oh, it's like, this is going to be easy. I know what's going on. I've seen it for 3 years or so. And you get in there and I think you get into like this real fishbowl mentality and you've got voices coming from one side of your head and that's a producer. Then you've got other contestants or other participants, I should say, not contestants. It's not a game show, even though it feels like it sometimes. But you've got all different voices coming at you and they kind of control your mentality in the show. So as strong-minded as you can be, I consider myself a pretty strong-minded person, but it squashed me pretty quickly.
Did it hit you afterwards? How was all your mental health and all that after this?
It wasn't great, to be fair. It was took a bit of transitioning back into normality. I think the worst thing was you go through filming a show for 3 months, you have a downtime period of probably, we had about 6 or 7 weeks, film the reunion, then it started on Channel 9. And the worst part for Liz and myself was that 6 or 7 weeks thinking, how are we going to come out on this TV show? Because you know what's happened. You know certain events that are going to come up and be talking points and whatnot. And obviously, Liz and I had a few, more so me.
Yeah.
It was collateral damage because of that. But yeah, I think that was the worst period. And then coming off and then getting the judgment from the public and whatnot. And it's social media. Like, it is what it is at the end of the day. In the street, no one would ever come and say it to you.
Yeah.
Everyone was so lovely to us. They're like, oh, we love you on the show. And I'm like, I read an article on Daily Mail that said opposite. But it's that kind of vibe. And you get over it. Eventually, it probably took maybe a good 3-4 months to sort of get your mindset back to a healthy state.
Yeah.
Not going to lie, but involved a couple of psychologists. And it is what it is.
Hey, it's all worked out for you now.
Well, it has, yeah.
This is the first time ever, we've actually got the kids in the studio.
Yeah, so Tate and Levi have come up for a day trip with Dad. Yeah. Our mum's at home having a rest and I think going to the gym. So I thought, look, I'll bring the boys in. And if you hear them in the background, apologies. They're pretty quiet most of the time.
I must admit, twins looks easy.
Oh, yeah, kind of.
Is it?
It is now that they're 4 months old. The first little journey through NICU, which I'm sure we'll speak about at some point in this episode, that's a tough slog. Not going to lie, especially when you don't know anything about NICU or even that NICU exists.
We'll touch a bit on that,
Yeah, so it's been a bit of a roller coaster 4 months, but you wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah. Now, my partner, she's got about 12 weeks to go.
Yeah.
And I've got a little theory, which I've just thought of this week. And I don't think girls are probably going to like this theory, but I think pregnancy is too short. Like, I think women should be pregnant for,
you want the ratings of this podcast. I was going to say,
is this where you want me to come out with a line that ends up in Daily Mail?
I feel that for the 6 months when they're born, they're basically just potato sacks anyway.
Yeah, look, there's not much happening in there at the very start. And then
so much to learn. I know.
So I've got two theories. Either an 18-month pregnancy where they basically come out as a six-month-old, or come out in an egg and you just incubate them for like 6 months.
Or a cabbage patch and just grow it in the backyard.
Just makes no sense to me, a 9-month pregnancy. And it goes really quick.
It does fly by. Look, I suppose from the women's perspective, it feels like probably 9 years.
Yeah.
But for us blokes that support your partner, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, it's sort of, it's there. And I think I kind of got to the end of that first trimester. I was like, you know what, they could be here tomorrow. I'd be pretty keen and pretty excited. I'm ready for it.
Mm.
And you go through different phases in the second and third trimester, and it's like, okay, to be fair, listen, I didn't really get the full pregnancy journey because the boys came 10 weeks early.
Mm.
But, yeah, I guess that was sort of our perspective on it. It did happen pretty quick for us. So we kind of didn't get the full 9 months. So,
well, what was your initial thought is what I wanted to ask you when you knew you were having twins. Was it just like, shit? Or was it?
For us, it was kind of mixed because we obviously knew that Liz was pregnant. Yep. With the one child.
Now, you planned. This was all planned.
Yeah, pregnancy. So we did plan, yep, to have a child, yep, or commence having, yeah, a family. Didn't think it was going to be twins. And then we eventually found out that we have twins on both sides of the family. So I was sort of, mm, like, you know what? Kind of expected if we knew this before we started trying, probably would have put $20 on sports bet saying we're going to have twins.
Yeah.
And paying $1.10. Yeah. But at the same time, too, when we found out, it was great news for us because we'd always spoken about having two.
Yep.
Probably look at having them 18 to 24 months apart and have a good age. Like my brother and I, we're 18 months apart. Lissa's sister is about 10 or 11 years younger than her. So there's a big gap with her side of the family. But for me and my brother, it's pretty close. So we also thought, well, there is no right or wrong time to have two children. So have them at the start and then you don't know any difference. So, no, we were pretty ecstatic when we found out it was twins. It's,
yeah,
pretty unique.
My cousins are twins, and, yeah, my auntie says it's unbelievable having it, killing two birds with one stone.
Basically. Yeah, oh, look, our family, they love it. And I guess, listen, I've now sort of got to the point where if we had just the one child, we'd be like, what do you do? Like, we're sharing the boy. Like, who's going to have dibs on him for this, yeah, time of the night and whatnot? So it's like, we can't have one each.
Now, they look identical. I was talking to you about this before. Now, they look identical. Are they identical?
They're not identical, but we are going to get a test done in the next couple of weeks where you can get the blood test done to sort of confirm or whatnot. So they were separate sacs, which then obviously alludes to they're not identical, but there is that 99% chance through the blood test if they are twins that they can be identical. So, look, they do look alike. I don't know. Our family think they could be. We have days where we think they could be in some, for example, yesterday, different angles.
Yeah.
We're like, nah, they're not identical at all. But
I'll have a $50 bet with you that they're identical.
Look, we kind of think if they are identical, that's kind of like a little cool addition to our story that has been since we met en masse. But look, I suppose our relationship has been very unconventional from the very start. Mm. So to have identical twins probably would add to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And talk us through Liz's pregnancy. Obviously, 10 weeks prem suggests that it wasn't a normal pregnancy. Did it go pretty smoothly up until that point?
Yeah, there was no sign of any indication that the boys were going to arrive early. First trimester, Liz was pretty crooked, the poor thing. There's only so much you can do as a male watching your partner throw up in the bathtub or in the shower of the bathroom. Yeah. It's kind of like, well, you're right, babe, you're all good,
right,
hun.
It should go longer, shouldn't it?
Yeah, cut that out to nine months.
Yeah, make it 18 months. That would be great.
You'll get crucified by your lovely partner.
I love Jackie. Em all of a sudden loves Jack a lot more than me, my partner. Probably.
Yeah, so no, everything to like up until the day of birth of the boys was pretty good. Like all the tests, all the scans were good. They were showing pretty good signs. We went and had the 4D, 5D scan done. It was like a week or two before Liz ended up giving birth, and like they were fine. Like there was no indication that these boys could come early, and we were like, yeah, we're going to have two healthy boys, and we had literally had no indication at all until probably the morning of Liz giving birth that the boys were coming.
Yeah, far out. And so you wouldn't have been prepared at all, like at home. Did you have any nurseries planned? Had you done any birthing classes?
Look, so we actually were quite fortunate. We had done a birthing class on the Thursday night. So the boys were born on the Saturday afternoon.
Nice.
So 48 hours prior, we had done one. But it was kind of like a lot of these birthing classes that we'd sort of done over Zoom, because it's obviously COVID, we'd done two. And they were very targeted towards having a solo child. So we kind of got like off those Zoom chats. And we're like, you know what, like we have a bit of an idea of what's going to come our way. Yeah. But at the same time too, we're like, well, that's a one child. Do we just times two for twins, or is it separate ways we go about it? And look, the second class was a bit better for us, which was the recent one prior to giving birth. So we were pretty well prepared when it happened. It was just the whole initial shock of the day on that Saturday when the boys decided to come out 10 weeks early.
Yeah. I've gone against birthing classes.
Have
I've
you?
Chosen not to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that with like couples doing that, and
I'm just trying to wing it. I don't know. I just, I've winged my life so far, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've done a lot of winging too. I think the best advice I can give from my personal perspective is that every, I guess, situation with giving birth to a child is different. Like, no one is exactly the same. And that's the one thing I'd say to you. It's like, you can learn these things in the birthing class and whatnot, but at the end of the day, it can be completely different. Like, no one said to us, well, hey, you could have your kids 10 weeks early. This is what you have to do. It's like, fuck, what do we do? It's Saturday morning. We have to get the Franks in the hospital because we think Liz is giving birth today.
Yeah, that's it. And that day of the birth, obviously, you probably haven't had a day like it in your life.
No, I'll never forget it. That's for sure.
Talk us through it. How did it all happen?
So, it was around 4 a.m. Liz had woken up. So, I'm a pretty deep sleeper. Yeah. I've now discovered since doing maths. I never used to be, but now I've just trained myself to sort of just get out and zone out for a night. But about 4 a.m., she apparently woke up and went to the bathroom and kind of felt like she'd wet herself and then went back to bed, didn't think much of it. And then around 8 a.m. when I woke up, same thing happened again, but a lot worse. And she was like in tears. And I was like, what's happening? Like, are you all right? Are you feeling good? And she's like, oh, I keep wetting myself. And I hadn't, not knowing anything about the whole process of going to labor, I was like, oh, is it just like a medical thing? Do we need to get you to hospital and get checked out? It could be the boys. And like, oh, look, we'll keep an eye on it for the next few hours and decide to go down to this place we go to in Mornington to get a shake every now and again, a health shake. So I did that. And then while she was there, we were sort of standing around. She just didn't look right, didn't feel well. And we're like, oh, we'll probably go to her parents' place in Mount Martha. We'll go there and suss it out. And we'd rung the hospital on the way to her parents' place to sort of say, hey, this is happening. They said, oh, look, bring the boys, like, come down, bring your belly down when you can, and we'll check it out. So we did that. We got to her parents' place, and after about 15 minutes, her family were like, look, you probably have to get her to a hospital. There's a bit of blood. She'd been in the toilet, and like, oh, we think she's going into labor.
It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. So we got down, drove along to Frankston Hospital as we did, and sort of arrived at the right time when no one was in there, and they were expecting us. So they said, oh, come on in, got into a room, and then literally as soon as she laid down on the bed to be checked out, it's like, boom, like, pain started coming, contractions and whatnot. It was like something had mentally clicked in her head that, yeah, I'm in a safe space in the hospital. I know I'm surrounded by midwives and doctors and obstetricians and stuff. And it's like, yeah, cool. I'm giving birth today.
The female body's amazing, and it's absolutely incredible. Amazing what it can do.
Yeah.
So, and, I mean, you showed me a picture of one of them. I don't know who it was. When they were born, and I'm talking, could fit in the palm of my hand.
Like, yeah.
What was that feeling like when you met them both for the first time?
Look, so I got to witness it all happen. I got to cut the cord and all that type of thing. Yeah. And I think, as I said to you before we started recording, seeing your children come out of your partner giving birth, it's like something just instantly like swept over me. It's like, I'm in dad mode from right now. Like, not 5 seconds later, I'm in it from now. And it was a natural thing. It's like, you can't prepare yourself for it. It's like, it was a hell of a sight to witness coming out.
Yeah.
Liz will hate me saying this, but I've actually got photos of the moment because I gave my phone to one of the midwives and she's there snapping away. And I'm in the zone watching the boys. I'm like, oh, here we go. They're coming out. Here's the head. Here's the arms and whatnot. But she must have been snapping away at all of it. So I've got a full recollection of what's happened. And we've had a look at the pictures once. And I'm like, if my phone ever got stolen, we're pretty much screwed.
Yeah.
Because like, there's some full-on pictures there. So I'm pretty tight with my phone. But at the same time, too, it was just, like, you can't describe it because going through it all and witnessing it, I've actually got a really funny story. Well, I think it's funny. So when the boys were coming out, I obviously didn't know much about what happens. And I just thought the boys come out, they're like skin color or white and whatnot. And the first one, Levi, came out because he was twin one. And I'm watching it pop out, and I'm like, oh, yeah, a bit of blood there. It's a bit of a mess, but we'll get cleaned up. It'll be sweet. And when he came out of Liz completely, I was there, and I said to the midwife, I said, is that normal? And she's like, yeah. Like, how cool is that? And, like, I'm talking Levi was, like, dark purple bordering on black.
Yeah, not
to be racist, but, like, he was very dark. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I didn't think much about it. And then in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't know if this is normal or whatnot. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, this is normal. So I'm like, okay. Yeah. Looks like we may have a darker baby here.
Yeah.
Anyway, and she's like looking at me like, are you all right?
You're looking at Liz.
Yeah, and I'm like looking at Liz. I'm like, do we need to have a conversation like tomorrow morning once you've settled down? And she's like, oh, yeah, that's all normal. Like, they're always darker.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And she's like, what were you thinking? I'm like, no, nothing. It's all good. And she's like, oh, I know what you're thinking. And then we both left and I had a bit of a laugh. And then she's like, no, that's all good. She's like, and then it eventually went like to a normal white skin color. Caucasian. And then Liz sort of said to me, she goes, oh, you gave a really weird look when the boys came out. I was like, yeah. And I told the story and she's like pissed herself laughing. Cause I'm like, have you had an affair with a darker male than myself? And I'm like, that's not my skin.
Yeah, because you're definitely pasty, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm, in summer, I normally get a bit of a tan, but in winter, I'm as white as Casper. So I was like, this is a bit weird. So, yeah, that was a bit of a funny moment for us.
Oh, now, the boys were, being 10 weeks early, they obviously had to go to NICU. Explain to everyone what NICU is and how worried were you while they were in there?
NICU is basically if you're sort of born with any complications or you're born premature, you go in there until you sort of get to a point where you can go into special care nursery and get to the point where you can come home. So the boys are born at Frankston Hospital on the Saturday, and when we got there, we were sort of being tossed and turned around from the doctors and whatnot, saying, does Liv give birth to the boys here, or do we transfer you to a hospital that's probably more suitable for when they're going to be out and in the real world? And it was that real fine line. It was like basically a half an hour window that they had to sort of get from there to a suitable hospital. And you had Monash that has a NICU. You've got the Children's Hospital in the city. And then there's one over on the west side. And we ended up in the Mercy Women's Hospital up at Heidelberg. So the complete opposite end of Melbourne to where we live down in Mornington.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, look, they were tossing and turning. I said, look, we'll give birth here and then go up to NICU. So the scary part for us was witnessing the boys 2 hours after being birthed, getting transferred up to Heidelberg. They get put in this Fulcan like machine, like to go in, into the baby ambulance and whatnot. And it's called Piper. So basically it's an ambulance designed for premature children to transport them. And it's like, that was scary seeing them go up. And then I'd gone home, Liz recovered overnight in Frankston Hospital. So I couldn't stay because of COVID regulations and whatnot. And then we went up to Heidelberg the next day when Liz got discharged from Frankston, and seeing him there, they've got machines hooked up to him, breathing apparatus and stuff. And we're crazy. Like, that scares you because you just think, our boy's okay. Like, and we didn't have any information about it. And we got there and then found out everything was good. So we kind of settled down there, but the drive up from Mornington to Heidelberg, that hour and a bit, that was pretty scary for us because we're thinking, you think the worst, hope for the best. And then they were all good. We had a situation in NICU with Levi. He had a bit of bleeding on the brain, and Tate's was fine. And the only reason they found it was because Tate was normal. And they said if he was a solo boy, they would never have picked it up. It was that minute. But because he had a twin to compare it to, they noticed it. And then that scared us a little bit because you sort of think bleeding on the brain, if you're a mature adult, that's not a good thing. So that happened. And then, other bits and pieces. So we had a COVID scare in NICU. That was obviously not ideal for premature boys. And the ward got basically put in COVID mode for two weeks. Yeah. So we had to go in full attire every time we went there. And we could handle the boys, but you kind of didn't want to get them out of their capsule too much. And
there's your appreciation for the nurses and all that.
Oh, man, they are incredible. To start with, like, Frankston Hospital, like, I know Frankston gets a bad rap around Melbourne.
But
Frankston, I would not have wanted the boys to be born anywhere else. Like, they were so good from the moment we walked in through the doors to the hospital to the moment that we left with Liz being discharged. Like, they looked after the boys incredible. They looked after Liz so well. Myself being a support to my partner, couldn't have asked for anything extra from them. So they were great. And then even the nurses up at the NICU at Heidelberg at Mercy for Women, they were incredible too, and met some incredible other people through that. An organization, Miracle Babies Foundation, awesome. They kind of helped us out too. They kind of helped parents out as well. And they're a great organization too, run by a lot of volunteers. So it's sort of the NICU journey is one that you never experience unless you go through it.
Correct. And is there any health risks to premature babies, any extra to babies born on time?
It's more about their development. Say, for example, they told us that basically safely you can be born from about 25 weeks with NICU now at the sort of how advanced it is. Then you've got from about 30 weeks on the lungs start to develop. So they were 29 plus one, so their lungs weren't developing. So that was a scary kind of 6 days there. But apart from that, I think you can always have a risk of infection and that type of thing in a hospital environment. But they're pretty clean, particularly during COVID. Like, everything is, sanitizing hands every time you open anything. So, look, we probably could have got a good hand sanitizer sponsorship to help them out at the time. That would have been pretty handy for Instagram. But, it's one of those things where they're pretty well looked after.
Yeah.
And when I say pretty well, it's like the best of the best.
Yeah. Now let's fast forward to the first day home.
Yeah.
You bring them home.
That was good.
How prepared are you there? What have you got there?
Well, by that time, we'd had stuff arrive at home.
Okay.
So we had all things basically locked in for the nursery at home, but obviously because they were so small, they weren't going to need it until probably the stage where they're at now, being 4 months old. But, we sort of had the bits and pieces there enough to get by until they sort of got to the point where they could move into bigger beds and whatnot. But, it was sort of the first day, we were kind of like, oh, shit, we haven't got a nurse here to ask how to do this and how to do that. And you kind of just, you've just got to go with it. Like, we had the mentality, look, it's just us now. We've obviously got the support hotlines that you can call from the nurses and whatnot. And we got put into a nurse at home. So with Frankston Hospital, when the boys got transferred back to Frankston where they were born into special care, they do a program where you've got a nurse at home for a week. So they come out, do a daily check-in if you want, which we did use every day. And they come and weigh them, just see how you're going and stuff. And like that was good for us because it kind of helped us ease into it.
Yeah.
I think if we didn't take up that option, we would have just been in panic mode. And you don't want to stress out because if you're stressed out, it translates to the boys and then the boys are stressing out because they can just tell that your vibes are the same. And it's true what they say. The boys reflect how you are at the time. And look, I guess from the moment that they've got home, we've had family support here with Liz's family, which has been good, and then other friends that have helped out and whatnot. And look, even people just reaching out, like it might sound like very stupid to say, but like we've obviously got the social media following now and we've had people messaging us saying, oh, hey, like, have like try this, try that if that happens. And people think, oh, it's just Instagram and whatnot. Like people just reaching out. You don't even know who they are. I'm like, you don't, but like you do appreciate information does come your way.
I've got a couple of questions because we haven't had anyone with twins.
Yeah.
Now, do they sleep at the same time? And does Liz like breastfeed, bottle feed, and does she do them at the feed at the same time?
So she stopped breastfeeding towards the end of her time in special care. So she's doing a lot of bottle feeding now with formula. It's just how the boys reacted to it. And we do feed them at the same time. We've got them on a schedule where we've been very pedantic that we feed them at the same time. So we're not doing an hour feed, then it's 2 hours after because they are still on their 3 hour feeds. But in terms of sleeping, most of the time they're okay. There's always this one little window, like before coming up here to record this with you, Tate didn't want to sleep. So Tate's asleep now because he didn't want to sleep before the last feed. So it's kind of worked out well to record this.
Yeah.
But they, for the most part, they're okay. They do get a crossover, but yeah, for the most time, they are sort of doing the same time.
Now, what's your role around the house?
Just all-round gentleman.
Is it?
Really, just father of the year, self-nominated. No, look, for me, it's a lot of support for Liz. They always say that mums do, I guess, take control of the situation. It's like a motherly instinct. And the boys, I'm not going to lie, the boys do gravitate to their mum. And it's even if you have a solo child. So I'd help out with the feeding, changing nappies and stuff. I've got no issues doing that. I've been back at work a little bit too. So navigating that too has been a little bit harder than usual, but it is what it is. Like,
I was going to say, is there anything you're struggling with at the moment, your list, besides sleep, maybe?
Me personally, I'm okay. It is what it is. It's not going to be around forever, but Liz is definitely struggling with the sleep. I think she's kind of gotten herself into that mode where she's used to going off 3 hours sleep and then waking up and then maybe getting an extra hour sleep or whatnot. And look, she's doing fantastic. Like, I can't speak high enough of Liz. How she went from giving birth, like, she's got no pain threshold at all. Like, if I tap you on the leg, she's like, oh, my God, that hurt.
Yeah.
But she went through and gave birth naturally, had no tears or nothing.
Yeah.
And she wanted to give birth via cesarean, and she was adamant. That's how. And then the nurse at the time said, look, the boys are small enough to come out naturally. Yeah. We're probably going to encourage that. And then you had me in the corner saying, look, she doesn't want to do that. She's going to hate me for not trying to push it. But then she's so glad she did it that way. And look, it's more about sort of going with what she wants and supporting her. And no, she's been an absolute trooper the whole way through. And she's, I know everyone will probably say it's about their partner, but she's the best mum going around.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. Now, as far as like baby stuff like carriers and that, what are three things you couldn't live without? And what's something you haven't used at all?
Three things I couldn't live without. Oh, they're dummy from the special care nursery. So they're on a smaller dummy. You can't buy them. I think there's one store online you can get them from somewhere. Yeah. But
Scotty McGregor said he hated the dummy, didn't he? Who? Scotty McGregor said he didn't. He threw it out.
Yeah, who knows? Everyone's different.
Everyone. We had a situation, and it's only been one night, and thank God it was one night, where we lost the dummy. We left it at her parents' place. We were like, we don't know where it is. It could be on the Mornington Peninsula Freeway for all we know. And then that night, we had to share a dummy. It was a nightmare. Absolute nightmare. If you don't want sleep, lose a dummy. Yeah. So dummy's definitely number one.
Good practice for the future, though, sharing things between them.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we're going to encourage a lot of sharing.
Have you got siblings?
Yeah. But both younger.
How's your sharing capabilities, Jack? Not great?
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I got a 13-year-old sister, so I don't mind.
Easy, yeah.
But so definitely a dummy. Look, we've got a little bed set up, a Dockatot. Shout out to Dockatot.
Heard these are great.
They are the best thing. Yeah, we've done a partnership thing with them, but they are.
Don't they move or something? Is that
so? You can actually maneuver the edges and the clip down the bottom and whatnot. But it's it's literally the only thing they sleep in consistently is a Docker tot. Now, it's not recommended that they do sleep in it overnight and stuff, but we have it in a set where it's safe to do so.
Okay.
But honestly, the Docker tot is a lifesaver. Like, you get them a bit restless in a Docker tot. It's like, we're in a Docker tot. It's all good.
Oh, yeah, get them on the way.
The third thing, probably mum.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love their mum.
Yeah.
I love their mum.
Yeah.
And she's good having them around. So it's, that's the three things. And one thing you could do without.
Is there anything you bought and just thought this is a waste of time?
Oh, the bassinets.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so we got the bassinets, and honestly, they hate them.
Okay.
Look, they've got this U-Butte bassinet. It's self-rotating. It has noises and whatnot to settle them down, but they just won't sleep in the things. They never have. We've tried them when they first came home. We thought, we'll get them in the habit of the bassinet. The nurses at special care said, no, get them into a routine, and we're like, they don't care. It could be from Audi. It could be from the best place you can get a bassinet from, and they're like, just not going to use it.
There you go.
It's like, bring us the Docker tot. We've even tried the Docker tot in the bassinet, and they sense the big walls. It's like, we're in the bassinet. Fuck this off. Where's the Docker tot? Get us the lower wall.
well, we do have a couple of questions here from socials for you.
Okay.
This is from Matt.
These will be good.
Matty V 27. There was a few that I couldn't repeat on air.
I'm sure used to that though.
Oh, absolutely. It's toned down a hell of a lot, but some of the questions I still get through.
Yeah.
If I do an Insta Live or a Q&A, it's like, wow.
How many nappies do you go through a day?
Okay, so we do a nappy change every 3 hours before a feed. So they're being fed at 6 a.m., 9, midday, 3, 9, midnight. So two at a time, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10.
That's almost 12 a pack.
Yeah, 12 to 14.
Holy moly. Day. Good for the environment.
Yeah, good sponsor there as well.
Huggies.
A few Insta posts there.
Yeah, I know. All right, so that's that. This is Maddie232. What's your favourite part about being a dad?
I think for me, I've always wanted to be a dad. So I think finally having that come into fruition and finally having that opportunity to do so is basically it. I love everything about it. Like, from them doing the world's smelliest shit, and soaking up the vibe off that, which isn't great, but it's sort of like it's part of what it is. Like, it's part of the journey. So I just love the whole journey about being a dad. I wanted to be a dad since I was about 27. I'm almost 33, so it's been a while. I guess that's really it.
Beautiful. This is from Joe Moore. How did you comfort Liz during the pregnancy? I'm assuming that's in the room. When she's giving birth.
Yeah. Oh, look, so
this is good for me because I need to know this.
Yeah. So this goes back to when we were filming Maths and we had stressful days, which was basically 90% of the 3 months of filming.
Yep.
Liz has a song that calms her down, and it was apparently well before we met the Hilltop Hoods. I'm good.
Love Hilltop Hoods.
So yeah. I was just pumping out on repeat, and the nurses in the room in the birthing suite were like, "Why are you hitting this on repeat?" I'm like, "Because this is just calming her down," and it worked. And she's like, "Oh, you just did it off your own back." And I'm like, I know what's going to work for you. Like, people are like, "You don't know her that well." I'm like, "No, I know her better than anyone else." Cause I said, this calmed her down. And yeah, she reckons it got her through it. So that's a tick for me.
Well, my obstetrician said I should be playing Enya.
Enya.
Yeah.
I saw a bit of tones away, fly away in there as well.
Yeah.
Dance Monkey came on, but no, it's definitely Hilltop Hoods.
All right. These are three questions from Liz that she's given me that you need to answer. You're right.
Yeah, right.
I see how good you're going as a dad.
Okay.
Why might the baby be crying? What are three reasons?
Overtired.
Yes, that's one.
Hungry.
That's one.
A nappy change would be required.
That's not on there, but
no, okay. So I've outdone myself there.
She's giving me the answers to these.
Has she?
Yeah.
The third one. Overtired, hungry, colic.
Yeah, well, is that reflux?
Colic, reflux. We've got an issue with little Tater Tot. He's got a bit of reflux colic at the moment, and he screams the house down. And then Levi, because he's missing out on colic, he just wants to scream as well. Yeah. So it becomes the baby symphony orchestra in the lounge room because of Tate. So,
well, that's a tick for you. Do newborn babies sleep through the night? Yes or no?
No, they don't.
How often should you be feeding them?
Every 3 hours.
Perfect.
It's a 3-hour cycle.
Bang.
Bang.
And we cannot wait for that 3-hour cycle to stop.
All right. Should a baby be swaddled with no blankets or covered in blankets?
Covered in blankets, because you can't have them loose because of SIDS.
Correct. There we go.
There we go. 50-50 and he got it.
Done well.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect. You're a good dad.
Well, I'm trying my best. That's the thing. That's all you can ask for.
Now, we just finished these pods off as well from something from Liz about you, your parenting, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay.
It'd be funny if someone actually, one of the wives just said, you are a shit dad.
Yeah, you suck. Yeah, you like, suck. Objectively.
Liz
yeah.
has actually never sledged me. No. So this podcast for the first time, she's actually sledged me.
Yeah, well, she hasn't sledged you, so there you go.
I'm waiting for
you
that
get
day.
Enough of that from the public, I think. Yeah. She's got to be nice here.
I did get enough of it from the public. It's to be fair, it teased off.
It's probably gradually getting better now.
Yeah. The new series has started. There's a couple of idiots on there and they're taking my mantle, so it's good.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, this is what she's written. Being a first-time parent and having preemie twins, Bryce has stepped up and made fatherhood easy. The love that he has for his sons is nothing short of heartwarming, and I love how he constantly talks about all the father-son activities and sports he plans to do with the twins. He loves them so wholeheartedly, which in turn made me fall in love with him more and more and on a whole nother level.
Oh, that's very sweet about it. Yeah, look, I do talk a lot around the house about I can't wait till they're three or four when we can go down to park, kick a footy or a soccer ball. Yeah. I said, like, I'll be coaching their little under-sixes team. I've already put the application in at my local club for it for 5 years' time. And now I can't wait. That's where I reckon I'll come into, like, prime dad.
And one last question before we go. Will you have a third?
No.
Or a fourth, for that matter. No. You're going to have twins again.
Absolutely not. Yeah, have you heard the story of Roger Federer, the tennis player? He had the twin girls and then had twin boys, and we couldn't have twins again. Nah, we are two and done. We always said during a match experience and afterwards that we wanted two children each. That was sort of, we were fortunate enough to have them straight up and have a very simple birth in terms of how you can. So now we are two and done, and we're very happy with our two little boys.
Well, off to get the snip.
To be fair, I have been doing a bit of Googling of it. There is a place in Frankston, I think it's Dr. Snip.
Dr. Snip, all my mates have been there, apparently. Really good. Right? Only one mishap, I think, in four kids. Nah, no mishap.
I've heard a friend of Byron's, actually, Dr. Snip.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. A bit of a plug. Get down, they might do it for free.
I've heard how you got to do the process, how you go in there, you got to test it first, they do the snip, and you go back 12 weeks later. I'm like, oh, God, righto, if this is how uncomfortable it's going to be, but look, it is what it is. If you want to do the right thing and play it safe. Well, you can't have your partner taking a pill forever, can you?
That's it. On that note, we're off. Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Bryce. Beautiful.